You usually listen to them every Sunday and may have just heard this man on the Phillies radio broadcast. But this week, Phillies announcer Greg Murphy joins Green Legion Radio's Chris Sack down in the Sea Isle City at the Ludlam Bar and Grill for a special Saturday baseball brunch. So grab your La Costa lemonade, lounge out, and listen to the best baseball talk now on Baseball Brunch.
Good afternoon, Philadelphia and Sea Isle City. This is Bud Light Baseball Brunch on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. I'm Chris Sack at Green Legion Radio. We're going to bring some great content for you guys today. I'm sitting alongside my co-pilot and the man that everybody wants to see, not just me, Phillies broadcaster Greg Murphy. What's up, Murph?
He is sexy. Yeah.
He is sexy.
Good afternoon. I'll tell you what a setup we have here. This is just absolutely beautiful. The Ludlam Hotel, sitting out by the bar and talking some baseball. What more can you do? That's exactly what I want to be doing on a Saturday, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But you have to work later. The rest of us don't.
I just get to watch a baseball game. It's not exactly work. I'm fine with that.
So how was vacation, Murph? I know you're just coming off the All-Star break. I know last night wasn't that great. We're going to get into that coming up here in the first segment. But how was vacation? I know you were down in South Carolina.
Yeah, you know what? The All-Star break is a really it's nice. It's short. It's only a couple of days, but a respite for folks that are involved in baseball, you know, every single day. We don't often get we never get 2 days off. Sometimes you get a day off during the season. So that All-Star break is a really good time to kind of recharge the batteries. We certainly were able to do that. And now we're ready to go for the second half of the season.
And just so everybody knows, we will be here for the next 3 hours, everybody. If you're anywhere close to Sea Isle City, come join us at the Ludlam Bar and Grill. We have an hour of baseball brunch right now, 2 hours of Green Legion Radio with Irving Fryer coming up. Unfortunately, Diaz is going to have to join us as well.
Yeah, there goes the day.
There it is. Shut up, Diaz. The twins are here, Emma and Sophia. It's good to have everybody here. Guys, please, back to you.
Sounds great. And also, Sam is walking around right now. She has her pen and a piece of paper. Anybody has any questions? If anybody has any questions, we're going to take all of your questions, or most of them, in the second segment, Ask the Show, or Life Advice with Murph. It could be anything. It could be about the Phillies. It could be about Major League Baseball, maybe your favorite team. It could be about if you wanted to get to know anything about Murph or myself. We're here. We're open books today. So make sure you guys dive in. We're going to try and keep this as listener-friendly here, not just on StreamYard, but here at the Ludlam Bar and Grill. Thank you so much for hosting us today. It's going to be a blast for sure.
Absolutely.
But this first segment is brought to you by our good friends at State Farm. Just as your local State Farm agent combines good neighbor service and surprisingly great rates, you can combine your home and auto, and guess what you'll get? That's right, good neighbor service with surprisingly great rates. In fact, State Farm agent David Russo is your go-to agent for the service you deserve at the price you want. So try combining home and auto today. State Farm agent Dave Mavusa will help mix and match things perfectly. Call 856-740-5012 for your surprisingly great rates. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Dave is in Williamstown. Again, that phone number is 856-740-5012. Individual premiums will vary by customer. All applicants subject to State Farm underwriting requirements. So, you know, right here on this very program, we love to give things away. We love giving away our picks in the last segment, which are some are better than others.
Yeah, they need to be given away and stay away. That's the way we've been this year.
The way I look at it, though, is we can't be any worse than John Jansen, who picked the Baltimore Orioles and the Phillies last night on Twitter. So, if Jansen's in the studio right now.
At least he didn't take the Red Sox.
Thanks, another Oh, God. But I'm actually surprised he didn't take the Red Sox.
Yeah. The Red Sox and the under last night was not the play.
That's typical Jansen jinx right there. Yeah. But we're giving away two tickets for the Phillies-Nationals game on Friday, August 5th at 7:05 p.m. down at Citizens Bank Park. In order to win, you must answer in the comments section on the Green Legion Radio YouTube channel, the Green Legion Facebook page, or our Twitter handle, @GreenLegion. Everything gets funneled into our StreamYard, so Sam will be monitoring that throughout the course of the show, and we'll give the tickets away in our last segment. Give us your favorite movie quote. I mean, this is as general and as broad as it can possibly get.
That is an enormous undertaking to whittle it down to one movie quote. I live my life by movie quotes.
So do I. So do I. And this had to be the toughest top five that you had to put together.
Yeah, it was not a scoop of vanilla, a scoop of chocolate, if you know where that's been. No, I did come up with what I believe to be the greatest movie line of all time. It's not one that I use a whole lot, but
we're
goes streaking.
Oh, that's a good one.
Going out by
the quad. That's probably one Quimby uses all the time. It's on his business card. but I think I came up with a pretty good one. But I'll tell you what, it is such a broad tie. It's a cool one. I like it. But it's that was tough.
There we go.
You're making it hard for me on a Saturday.
Why don't you give us one of your five?
Well, I didn't come up with five. I only came up with one.
No, you only came up with one. Well, yeah. Why don't you give me one?
Well, do you want me to just give it to you right now?
Please.
Okay. So I think the greatest movie line of all time, and I mean this, like, you know, it's something certainly most people would know, but it's also like a great cinematic moment, is take the gun, leave the cannolis, from The Godfather, which you wouldn't understand.
I wouldn't understand.
You've seen The Godfather. But it's I know, it's pathetic, right? He has never seen The Godfather.
Almost as pathetic as Diaz in a tank top.
but it's a classic line from one of the greatest movies of all time. So I went with that one. Take the gun, leave the gun, take the cannoli.
Okay, yeah. Sam's got one.
Oh, I have one. I have a great one. Pain heals, chicks dig scars, glory lasts forever.
Yeah. There it is.
Well, from The Replacements, and I know Quimby just divulged his from Old School. We're going streaking for sure.
That's a good one.
One that I like to use, and this is from Dumb and Dumber. Well, big gulps, huh?
Okay.
Well, see you later. I love that part. It's just so random. It just comes out of nowhere. But it's great right before he gets back in the shag wagon. He starts driving the wrong way.
Movie quotes are great. All right.
Let's talk some Phillies baseball here this morning, huh? The last night was rough. But before the All-Star break, they finished off the sweep of the Marlins last Sunday in Miami for the first time in 12 years to carry a three-game winning streak into the All-Star break, which finished the road trip at 5-4. Yeah. Things looked glum there with that four-game losing streak right in the middle, but they were able to finish the All-Star break six games above 500 at 49-43, and they're tied for the final wild card spot in the National League. And, you know, hey, we're still within shouting distance of the New York Mets, 8.5 back for them in National League East.
They're going to be shouting pretty loud.
Yeah, right now. Hey, 7.5, remember, 17 to play.
There you go. Quimby's been drinking a lot over the last 15 years, so he doesn't remember that. But listen, I'm not one to bitch, moan, and complain. You know, I tend to keep my
your emotions in check.
In check, close to the vest. Mm-hmm. Okay, and we were kind of talking about this in the green room before we jumped on air. The way they set up the rotation coming out of the All-Star break, I have some beef with that, because Wheeler hasn't pitched since last Wednesday in Toronto. Now, he got roughed up a little bit, and I know they're trying to monitor his pitches, monitor his innings. They're trying to give him added breaks and reprieves here because we're getting into the dog days of summer. All in all, though, he should have pitched on Friday night. And I know, like, it's tongue-in-cheek now. We lose the game 15-2. It's easy for you to say that. Like, oh, yeah, well, yeah, that's after the fact. Hindsight's 20/20. I was saying this before the game. Because if Wheeler pitches last night, it lines him up to face the Braves on Wednesday.
Yeah. You're right about that. Now tell me where it lines him up the next five starts. Because that's how far the Phillies look out to see.
Well, he'll pitch again against the Braves.
Well, Woody.
Okay. Wednesday leads to Monday.
I'm saying that the Phillies, as an organization, you know, they make these decisions not in a, you know, a 10-day kind of window, but they look at it in a 6-week kind of window. How can we give these guys, you know, where do the day offs fall? How can we give these guys as much rest as possible? Also set them up to pitch when we need them to pitch and where we need them to pitch. And ultimately, the decision was made to give both Wheeler and Nola that extra day, start Gibson coming out of you know, the break. And that's the way, you know, I mean, what I'm trying to say is they don't make these decisions willy-nilly. They put a lot of numbers down on paper. They put it through the computers. They talk to their analytical folks. They talk to
the team
folks,
doctors,
all of the
trainers,
and they just the trainers for sure. And they just try and figure out what the best plan is. And that was what they decided. So if you take a step back, yeah. So last night, obviously in retrospect, they lose 15-2. But if they win the next two, you know, you win the series, which is really what you're trying to do in any three-game series, and then you're facing the Braves. And then you see what happens. Sure, would you love Zach Wheeler this time around pitching against the Braves? Yeah, but maybe they saw something 4 or 5 weeks from now that they thought was a little bit more important. So, you know, all I can say is you have to trust what these baseball guys have decided and hope that it was the right decision.
Yeah, and there's not much for me to have questions with Rob Thompson over the last couple months since he's taken the helm. It was just one of those things for me. Like I know you were saying this, they're six games behind the Braves. Like, are they really looking at those games right there as the ones that they have to win? But I also look at it from a certain standpoint where you have a losing record against the Mets, a losing record against the Braves this season, yep. And you have a the great scheme of things, which probably leads you to either right on 500 or below 500 within the division.
Within the division.
I mean, because you've been beating up on the Nationals and you just coming off the sweep against the Marlins. Mm-hmm. You know, these are big games. And if you're going to get into these bigger games that are going to be played in September and then hopefully in October, obviously they're going to play in the first week of October as it is. But to get to the playoffs, you have to win these games against the Braves. I would feel more comfortable having guys like, you know, I know they're going to make a move over the next couple weeks before August 2nd. They're going to make a move. But Bailey Falter, I'd rather have him pitch against, and he's going to pitch tomorrow. He's going to pitch on Sunday. But I'd rather him pitch these games against the Pirates and the Cubs than trying to line him up and potentially pitch against the Braves.
I do. No, it makes complete sense. What you're saying makes sense. All I'm saying is for some reason, it made more sense for them to do what they did. And I don't know how they figured that out. But believe me when I tell you, they didn't just kind of toss a coin up in the air. So I agree that what you're saying makes complete sense. But somewhere down the line, they saw something that they thought made a little bit more sense. So, you know, you just have to hope that they're right, and you have to hope that and trust it that ultimately it's going to play out the way. I mean, maybe they save Wheeler and Nola. You know,
well, now they're going to be back to back too now.
Yeah,
because Nola's pitch on Tuesday instead of Monday,
which isn't the worst thing in the world when you're playing teams like the Braves and the Mets coming up. So, you know, again, let's see how it plays out. But sure, I'd like Wheeler and Nola to pitch every night. You know, if we could figure that out, that'd be okay.
Let's dive into a little bit of an injury report. We have some bad news to report, mm-hmm. and we have some good news to report that came out yesterday ahead of the Phillies game against the Cubs last night. Zach Eflin is the bad news. Zach Eflin, listen, I don't even want to try and pronounce what the medical term is with it. Let's just go back. It's knee soreness again,
yeah.
Because we did say last week that he did have a simulated game on Saturday. We talked about it on Sunday morning, but then he came into the clubhouse that day and he reported that the knee soreness was back and it was still lingering. At this point, they're shutting him down. You can't rely on Zach Eflin the rest of the season. This is definitely going to be something that Dave Dombrowski is going to have to make a move on as we get closer to August 2nd.
Yeah, you know, I classify it as bad news as well. The Phillies are not. they're holding it a little bit closer to their vest and saying it's a setback. It's a little bit of a setback, but they still expect Zach to be back this year.
Is this the same knee that he had surgery on?
Yeah, it is. It is. But it's not a structural issue. We had an MRI on Monday, and that was fine. The MRI has been fine all along. So that really is good news. What he initially had was that bruise on the fat pad behind the knee. That has cleared up, they've said. Right now, he's just having general soreness when he lands on that knee. And it's more when he fields his position rather than when he's actually pitching. But, of course, you can't prevent him from fielding his position while out there. So it is an issue, and they are going to start a strengthening program to kind of help that knee, kind of like what Chase Utley went through, if you remember back.
Yes.
You know, they went in and they just focused in on the muscles right around the knee, and they just made them as strong as they possibly could, and it resurrected Chase Utley's career. That's what I'm not saying it's the same program, because I don't know if it is or not, but it's a similar concept is what they're trying to do with Zach Eflin. And it's going to take some time. Obviously, it's going to take some time. He's going to be down for a little bit. Rob Thompson said yesterday, I fully expect Zach Eflin to be out on the mound as one of our starters at some point this year, but when, we don't know. So you're right. It is a setback. It is bad news. The good news that you're talking about was Gene Segura. Back in the clubhouse, I'm presuming that's what you meant. Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Back in the clubhouse yesterday.
I'm ecstatic about Gene coming back.
I am too. He's
one of the best hitting second basemen in the game.
He absolutely is. So yesterday, it was a special day for Gene Segura. He hit 10 years of service time in Major League Baseball, which if you're a baseball fan and you understand the business side of the game, when you hit 10 years of service time,
10 and 5,
it's basically your golden ticket for the rest of your life. You know, he has full benefits for the rest of his life. He has a full pension for the rest of his life. It sets you up, you know, beautifully for forever and ever. And it's a special, and less than 10% of Major League Baseball players in the history of baseball have made 10 years.
That's awesome.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Seriously.
So Gene became one of those players yesterday, so a very special day for him. But more importantly, from a baseball standpoint right now, he says he feels really good. He's down to basically just a small bandage on his finger, and he's throwing.
So it's like my 3-year-old when he gets a boo-boo. It's just
It looks like,
Is it a Hello Kitty or a Toy Story?
It's not
one?
A Hello Kitty. I couldn't tell. It might have been like a Toy Story one. But anyway, he said he feels really good. Hitting, not an issue. Throwing is the hardest part, but he said he's been able to do that now. And he joked. He said, look, I'm a second baseman. How far do I have to throw? You know, and he said, I'm ready to go. He's going to go out on a rehab assignment. He doesn't know when. Rob Thompson hedged a little bit. He wasn't quite as
I think in the National Series. I think Rob Thompson said that they're not looking at the Pittsburgh-Atlanta road trip, but shortly thereafter. So we're looking at alumni weekend. He's
yeah.
There.
My feeling is in the next 2 weeks, he's out on a rehab assignment, and if he has to play 3 or 4 games to get ready and then be back. But we're getting pretty close to having Gene Segura back. It is outstanding news. He will lengthen that lineup. He becomes a clutch professional hitter in the middle of that lineup, which is exactly what this team needs. We need as many of those guys as we can get, and especially until Bryce comes back. So definitely good news, and it was so much fun to talk to Gene because he loves the game of baseball, and he loves playing, and he is so excited to come back and be with these guys for a postseason push. You can see it in his eyes.
He hasn't been there yet.
No, he hasn't.
Never been in the postseason in his career.
Longest tenured player in Major League Baseball.
Right now, wow.
Yeah, and JT Realmuto would be number two. So two guys in that clubhouse who are dying to get to the postseason.
I'm not even in the clubhouse, and I'm dying to get to the postseason. Well, it's been a long, it's been a long 11 years. I keep on threatening divorce with my wife because ever since we started dating, the Phillies haven't made the playoffs.
Well, we might have to visit that. I mean, it's important.
We're going to have to call the lawyers.
And I'll be the one that gets blamed for it. I already
Quimby, just accept it and move on. Come on.
Now this isn't Phillies related, but I thought we could dive into a couple other things that have that have come about this week. And I know we touched on Juan Soto last week and his contract with the Nationals, turning down 15 years, $440 million contract.
Yeah, with half of that deferred till he's 82 years old.
Exactly, which is what I brought up last week because they did that with Bryce. It was a $300 million contract, and they tried to defer $100 million of what he would have earned until he's 65.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah. It's not.
I want to know how much of that was deferred.
It's not the Bobby Bonilla deal.
No. Listen, getting to 65 isn't even guaranteed. But the funny news that came out around the All-Star game was that the fact that because he turned down that deal, they would not give him a chartered flight from D.C. to L.A. He had to fly commercial.
Well, he didn't have to.
Like the rest of us slobs?
Yeah, but he was in first class. He flew commercial, got in at 1:30 in the morning on Monday, and then he went out there and he won the home run derby, which is great. But it's also funny because, I was saying, me and my dad
would you like a plane?
Like, not only are they, and that's the Lerner family, just a bunch of cheapskates out there in D.C. for sure. I can say that, you can't. Okay, you work for the Phillies, I don't. but that right there just goes to show you. And then also at the same time, his agent is Scott Boras.
Yeah.
And you'd think that Scott Boras would be able to.
He wasn't allowed to.
He can't?
No, that's against the rules.
But I would think that should be against the rules for an agent not to do those things before they're actually your client. You should be able to take care of your client.
Scott Boras put out a statement explaining the rule and why he was not allowed to do that.
That's shocking.
Yeah, because he would have. Because Scott Boras, he takes care of his guys, for sure. So
no doubt.
He would have done it. But
and Juan also makes $17 million this year.
I was so having why he didn't have to fly commercial.
I was having a good weekend. Did we have to bring up Scott Boras?
Hey,
I know you're a big fan.
If he was your agent, you'd be happy. Trust me. But anyway.
No, your thoughts on it.
Yeah, no, I think it's a strange situation that became.
They got to trade him now. Right? Well, I mean, he's got to go before the All-Star, the trade deadline.
Well, the Nationals are in the driver's seat, really, until the end of the year. So they don't have to trade him. Will they? More than likely, I think it happens. But, trying to get value for a guy like Juan Soto, who's a once-in-a-generational kind of hitter.
Before the All-Star break.
Before
the trade deadline,
It's going to be really difficult. There's only a couple of teams that can even get into that playground. And remember, if you're trading for Juan Soto, you're expecting that you can sign him for the next 15 years. Again, that really limits the teams that can get involved in this. So not only do you have to have this boatload of prospects down in the minor leagues to get them back, but you also have to, have the money going forward to sign them to a long-term deal. And I mean, honestly, I think you can, on one hand, you can count the amount of teams that have both those things. So it's going to be very difficult. It's going to be difficult for Mike Rizzo, the general manager of the Nationals, to get value back for Juan Soto. It's going to be difficult for any team to have enough to get Juan Soto. So I don't know how it's going to play out.
This is also the time, though, right before the trade deadline, where you start to build that dialogue. So even if you don't, even if you don't score the deal, yes, absolutely. That's my brother, Kevin.
Very cool.
Kevin, who just got married, and you gave him marital advice.
Yeah.
And we got a bunch of them on
the show. That's awesome.
Right before the wedding. Yep. Kev does these custom
very
signs.
Very cool. That's awesome.
Absolutely.
Hold on a second. I don't want them getting a big head, though. Can I break that?
Probably not in your weakened state right now.
I'm about to stroke out over here after setting up for 3 hours.
But we see how it goes, though. This is the time where you create the dialogue, and if the move isn't happened, that's when it happens in the winter meetings, in the offseason. Kind of like with Roy Halladay didn't go through in 2009. It happened in the offseason. They had to turn and pivot and go towards Cliff Lee, which actually worked out that way for sure. But we'll save the next one, and we're going to have some questions. If you have any questions at all for the panel, for Greg Murphy or myself, please see Sam, and we're going to answer all of them, most of them. And I have some this or that. So remember those last year from a couple
of
shows?
I like
that. So I got more for you coming up right here at 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler, live at the Ludlum Bar and Grill in Seattle City with Green Legion Radio, also coming up with Irving Fryer from 1 to 3 right here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. We'll be right back right after this. Second segment here on Bud Light Baseball Brunch, live at the Ludlum Bar and Grill in Seattle City. I'm baking out here. Just sweating just a little bit, but I do have two backup shirts, just in case. What's up, Pop? Mom? They're in the house hanging out with us here.
Sack in the
house? Absolutely, yes.
It's a sack attack.
No doubt about it. Premier Window Cleaning is the leading window company. Philadelphia and the surrounding areas, over 30 years experience. They offer commercial and residential window cleaning, pressure washing, parking garage cleaning, graffiti removal, post-construction cleaning. Every employee is trained, certified, and goes through an extensive background check. At Premier Window Cleaning, your satisfaction level needs to be 100%, as no job is complete until you're happy. With clients like Lincoln Financial Field, Comcast, Chop Roberts, and University of Pennsylvania, you cannot go wrong. For more information and a full list of services, give them a call at 267-534-5198. That's 267-534-5198. Or go to their website, WeHateDirtyWindows.com. That's WeHateDirtyWindows.com.
Everybody at the Ludlum Bar and Grill here in Sea Isle City. Make sure you guys stick with us until 3 o'clock. If you're anywhere near Sea Isle, come on in. We've got a door prize today. We have three door prizes today. We have a bunch of Bud Light giveaways, including a portable cornhole. Oh, am I not allowed to say cornhole anymore? Portable bag-o.
Sounds about right to me. Yeah. I think you'd say that.
An excellent Bud Light cooler, a Bud Light beach chair. We've got a lot to give away, including three official Duke NFL Wilson footballs, which you will be able to throw to legendary Eagles receiver Irving Fryer right out in front of the Ludlum Bar and Grill today while we take that social media video moment. And he will autograph these three footballs afterwards. He's probably going to be sweat to death by the time he runs, you know, 15 patterns out here in the sun.
Do you get to, like, draw it up on your chest like we used to do in the backyard? Like, all right, Irv, I want you to go down to the Buick and make it right.
We're looking for a couple of bottle caps right now and a couple of good rocks.
I love it.
In addition to that, Connie and
Hutch.
The beautiful girls of Philly's finest swimsuit counter and the vice president of the Green Legion are here signing calendars, giving away Bud Light t-shirts. We've got a lot going on, everybody. The Ludlum Bar and Grill here in Seattle City. Stop down at any point in time between now and 3 o'clock.
Sounds great. Thanks, Quimby, for pitching that out there for us, and looking forward to being on the radio with you shortly. Now let's get back to some baseball talk.
This
beautiful day down at the shore. Too hot for my liking, but still, it's beautiful nonetheless. Let's talk a little bit about, before we go into Ask the Show, Sam is working on that right now, sending me the questions. We have this or that. We have some fun with the audience here at the Ludlum Bar and Grill. But first and foremost, I have a question for you, Murph.
Yeah.
We were just talking about Juan Soto, trading him. I'm looking at it right now, man. The Angels, Shohei Ohtani. You know, he's in the final year of a two-year, $8.5 million deal. Now, he still has 1 year of arbitration left for next season, and then he becomes a free agent after next season.
Right.
But this team is going nowhere. I mean, me and you both picked them to win a division. I thought we were baseball experts, but I guess we're not.
No.
But I look at this team, and I was texting with the unhappy Gilmore this morning, and I said to him about the potential for a deal with this. Like, he was like, well, you got to make a decision, either him or Trout. Well, Trout's been injured the last few years. He's got a big money deal, big money contract. I'm not sure a lot of teams are going to be able to be able to forfeit their system. And if you're trading for Otani, I mean, you're trading for the whole package and what he does. I mean, he's an automatic draw. I think he drew a huge crowd in Miami last weekend. I'm telling you, man, if I'm starting to think about it, if I'm the Angels, I mean, another big-term, long-term commitment, or am I going to go ahead and trade him away and try and replenish his farm system to put these young kids around Mike Trout for the next decade?
I do not think Shohei Ohtani is an Angel for life. And I think it happens sooner rather than later for all the reasons you just said. For whatever,
his value has never been higher.
Yeah, no. He is about as valuable of a player as you can get in Major League Baseball. Obviously, you're getting him going, you know, as a pitcher and a hitter, or certainly at least for the next couple of years. It's something the Angels have to be thinking about. They can't keep throwing money. They have a number of big money contracts. They can't offer Shohei Ohtani what he's worth, and they're not going to want to lose him for nothing. So I do think in the next 12 months or so, it becomes a serious topic of discussion. It would not shock me if Shohei Ohtani is on the move this time next year.
So this time next year?
I think so. I don't know that they do it this year.
It might
year.
Be too soon
yeah.
this season?
Yeah. But certainly, it's something they're going to have to think about.
No doubt about it. So we have a question from out here with Sophia. Yeah, we're getting to your question, dear. Who should the Phillies trade to boost the rotation and middle relief? Now, I see the question as boost the rotation for me.
Yeah.
We've kind of established this. If we're going to do anything as far as the bullpen is concerned, I mean, maybe bringing in a full-blown established Major League Baseball closer, so that way you can kind of do what you did back in 2008 with the bridge to Lidge, and then you had Romero and Madsen coming from both sides. You can mix and match them between the seventh and eighth. You could do that with Sir Anthony. You could do that with Brad Hand. It kind of strengthens the bullpen if you're going to go that route. If anything, adding a closer would be the more prominent thing to do, especially because Sir Anthony can't go back-to-back.
Yeah.
I think that's part of the issue.
Yeah, so I agree with you. I think it's more likely that they'll look to booster the rotation if they can, which is a difficult thing to do. So who do you trade? Well, you're going to have to trade. You know, you're not going to trade anybody off the active roster, at least not anybody that's making an impact on a daily basis. So, you know, you're looking at your farm system. Phillies have some talent down there. You know, they have a lot of catching depth that a lot of teams don't have. So I would imagine a catcher could be a part of that.
Marshawn or
Logan O'Happy, someone along those lines. You know, they have a couple of really special arms that I know they don't want to part with.
I mean, you better get the second coming of Jesus.
Well, you would have to get a number two or a number three kind of guy, I think, if you're going to get rid of a Griff McGarry or if you're going to get rid of an Andrew Painter.
Nick Abel.
And I would be surprised even then if they wanted to do that. But, you know, it really depends on how... it depends on the caliber of player you're getting back, and it depends on how close they think they are. Because if you make moves like that, you're all in to win the World Series, obviously. And anything short of that would be a disappointment. So it's a difficult... it's a difficult situation. These are tough decisions, but I've been saying it for for a year and a half. I trust Dave Dombrowski as much as I trust anybody in baseball to make those decisions. His track record proves he gets rid of guys that often don't turn into what many people thought they were going to turn into, and he gets back some talent at the major league level. So if he sees something in one of those young players that perhaps he thinks, you know what, this guy might not be as good as everyone thinks he is, and I can get so-and-so, you know, big right-hander to help us out in the rotation, and he pulls the trigger, I'm fine with it. Make the move, Dave. You know, if he believes in it, then I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt, for sure.
I don't think they're going to dive into the bigger name starting pitchers that are out there. You know, like Luis Castillo and Montez from the A's. I don't think that they're looking to go in that direction. I think it's going to be somebody... The pitcher, is it Gray from Colorado? Yep. Like, you're probably going to look in that direction, a guy that's
the
more...
The Joe Blanton type of move.
Yes. Yeah. Hey, listen.
It worked out okay.
It worked out okay. Sometimes the big splash doesn't get you over the top. And they don't need to make that big splash. When you have a Zach Wheeler and an Aaron Nola at the top of your rotation, I mean, we saw what Nola did last Sunday, which was special down in Miami, and what Zach Wheeler has done for the last couple of years here in Philadelphia, and runner-up for the Cy Young last year, robbed, if you ask me. Corbin Burns pitched, what, 50, 60 less innings than he did last year, which might also go into effect the reason why they're trying to give him an extra added day here or there. But I think it's more of a guy that's just going to fill in, kind of fall into that, in that 3-4 area, you know, Ranger, Gibson kind of fall in that 4-5 spot. If you do that, I think you're going to be able to succeed with that kind of a rotation.
Yeah, and I think a good way of looking at it, Zach, just to put a wrap on that, is the Phillies, if they're making a move like that, they're not making the move so that when they get into the postseason, this guy is a game changer for them. What they're trying to do is get a guy that can help them win as many games in the remainder of this regular season to get them into the postseason. So, you know, that's the thing. A guy that can go out there every 5 days and give your team a chance to win, and if he does that, then you get into the postseason, and then you ride your horses in the playoffs.
No doubt about it. All right, so let's play a little game. We did this a couple times last year when we did Ask Murph.
Okay.
We did it at the beginning of the season when we didn't have much to talk about. We did it in the middle of the season right around the All-Star break. So I kept all the old ones, too, just to make sure I didn't recycle
them. Of course you did.
But, yeah, they're all on here. They're on my notes. And but a lot of fun. So I got 10 of them here for you. All right, 10 that I didn't ask you last year.
Okay.
But I'm going to ask you this year.
All right.
All right, first and foremost, cats or dogs?
Dogs.
Dogs.
Did you really ask that question?
Not even close.
I did ask the question.
Dogs that eat cats. That would be my...
my man.
Rollins or Utley?
As what?
If you had to pick one or the other.
Ooh, God.
Does it depend on whether or not you're a single girl?
Well, I didn't say Pat Burrell.
All right, Rollins or Utley? Gosh, that's almost an impossible question. I would go Rollins, I guess.
Rollins, yeah. Okay. Halliday or Lee?
Halliday.
Okay. Morning or night?
Alonzo morning or Phil night?
No. Oh. In the morning. Would you prefer?
I hate morning, so night. If we play ball at night, if I don't have to be up before noon, I'm fine with that. answering.
Yeah,
no.
I don't even think Sean would answer that question. All right, ketchup. Do you like to smother the fries or dip the fries in it?
Dip. Yeah, I'm not a smotherer.
And ketchup on a hot dog all the time.
All the time, along with
all the time.
Spicy mustard.
Where's Diaz? Is wrong.
With spicy mustard.
Yeah, mustard only on a hot dog, but go ahead.
Do you prefer to be the passenger or the driver?
Driver.
Roller coasters or water slides?
Water slide.
Ooh, okay. Choose one to live again. If you had to do it all over again, would you rather live your high school years or your college years?
Huh, college.
College.
Yeah. I love high school, but college.
College?
Yeah.
All right. Now, I know you're a coffee guy.
Yeah.
Are you a hot coffee or iced coffee?
Can't stand like iced coffee. Love hot coffee. Love iced tea. Doesn't make any sense. Can't drink iced coffee.
Diaz, go away.
Can't drink it. Yeah.
Yeah, please, God.
I got to go with my partner.
The twins are Diaz. The twins.
Diaz Nation. Hey, Dad, did you bring those tears, those Embiid tears for him? Of course. Yeah, he'll be drinking them all day. Last one out of this. Professional Murph or casual Murph?
What do I prefer?
Yes.
Casual Murph is professional.
No.
I have never seen you in a suit and tie.
Well, that would be super professional Murph. We don't roll that way anymore. It used to be I wore a tie every day of my career. Now they're happy if we put a collared shirt on. So, times have changed in that regard. But, give me, casual Murph if I can. But it doesn't happen much in the summer.
So, I know we talked about it last week on last week's show about the All-Star game and the Home Run Derby. Did you watch either of them?
I didn't watch. Well, so I was, I was away, out to dinner while the Home Run Derby was on. So, glanced up here and
there.
Was
that the picture that you posted with Krista?
Yeah.
And then, what was that drink that you had?
It was a spicy jalapeno margarita.
It looked good.
Oh, it was outstanding. Yeah.
Was that the only one that you had, or did you have multiple?
Sure. Let's go with that. Yeah, that's the only one I had in the picture.
You watch a little bit of the Home Run Derby?
Again, glanced up at it. And same, out to dinner the next night, with the game on in the background. So didn't live and die with every pitch by any stretch.
Also,
I told you, it's not my thing. When we have an opportunity to get away from baseball for a couple days, you get away from baseball for a couple days.
So. Did you hear about the controversy?
Yeah, watch football players during the bye week. It's crazy.
Yeah.
You can't get out of the airport.
Well, yeah. I mean, and it makes sense because you're immersed in your sport. Even as broadcasters and certainly as players and coaches, you're just immersed in the sport 24/7 for a long period of time. So when you have that opportunity, it's almost... It would almost be unhealthy not to try and get away.
Yeah, try and unplug yourself from it.
Yeah, exactly.
So did you hear about the controversy with Kyle Schwarber, though?
I read about it, and here's all I'll say about it. I thought Kyle's answer the next day was perfect. He goes, I didn't give it much thought. So if he doesn't care, I certainly don't. So I don't think it's worth talking about.
I didn't really care much about it either because I put $25 on Juan Soto to beat Julio Rodriguez.
I had Juan Soto as my pick as well.
Yeah, well, actually, if you ask Jansen, and Jansen will fill you in, he had Corey Seager and Kyle Schwarber in the final.
Well, I wanted Kyle Schwarber to win.
Chime in.
I wanted Kyle Schwarber to win, but... Kevin Stocker asked me on the air right before the break, and he said, you know, if you had to pick someone other than Kyle, who do you like? And I said, I like Soto. So that's who I went with. Yeah,
especially after they made him fly first class.
A day and a half later, I found out that's who won. So,
did you watch any of the All-Star game, though? You said it was just bits and pieces. The production value, I never thought I would say this in my life. I miss Joe Buck. I really did.
I love Joe Buck. He's fantastic.
Nothing against Joe Davis, who was doing it with
Joe
John
Davis
Small.
Too.
It seems like a nice guy and you know, young guy, and someone that you can mold into that role eventually. But man, it was just from start to finish. I liked what they did as far as the interviews with the players during the course of the game, being mic'd up, and I thought that was fun. They had Garrett Cole and Max Fried in opposite dugouts, and they were talking to one another. John Smoltz was telling Alek Manoah what he wanted him to pitch, what he wanted him to throw next. I found that interesting. I thought that was fun. But outside of that, just a complete and absolute snooze fest. The All-Star game is not what it used to be. I think it was 22 strikeouts during the course of that game.
Well, and that's unfortunate because... That's the problem with baseball right now, and when you put the best players, the best pitchers out there, you know, one after another, that's what you're going to get because the pitchers have such an advantage over the hitters more often than not. So,
yep. So we're down here, Bud Light Baseball Brunch, followed by Green Legion Radio from 1 to 3. Legendary Eagles wide receiver Irving Fryer is going to be on with us today as he is now full time with us. I can't believe he actually signed up for that. Why he wants to deal with Diaz, and he always says, I don't have a problem with Diaz.
Ooh, athlete's row,
Athlete's row, ping pong in college.
Ping pong championship.
Yeah. What is that, Mr. Deeds, where the guy, Cecil, he's, I want to be a ping pong champion. But we're live at the Ludlum Bar and Grill in Seattle City, New Jersey. Yes, that's right, the old La Casa, the complete renovation finished. You will now see a brand new look, feel, and vibe set amongst a casually sophisticated bar, a cozy a la carte dining room, and the only mellow lounge in Townsend Inlet. The menu is seasonal, offering the freshest local seafood, cooked simple to ensure the flavor that already exists stays that way. The hotel is open year-round, and all guests enjoy free Wi-Fi, one free parking spot per room, and complimentary beach tags for all registered adults, walking distance to everything. Check out LudlamHotel.com. That's Ludlam, L-U-D-L-A-M, hotel.com. Or call them at 609-263-7829. That's 609-263-7829. For all your reservation, dining, or entertainment questions, the Ludlam Bar and Grill and Hotel, your new oasis in Seattle City. Coming up in our last segment, we're going to give our picks for Saturday's action. We're going to do a couple Can You Believe It's. A lot of it based off of the Blue Jays-Red Sox game last night. Oy vey, we thought we were bad. Right here, 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. This is Bud Light Baseball Brunch. We'll be right back right after this.
The Gambler, presented by Cure Auto Insurance.
Back, final segment here, and it's Saturday afternoon.
Already?
Not Sunday morning.
How about that?
Like we're normally doing. Live at the Ludlam Bar and Grill here in Seattle City, New Jersey.
I'll tell you what, Zach, I could get used to this.
You think so?
Absolutely.
Are we moving to Saturdays next season?
Well, I don't know. Are we moving to Seattle?
Every Saturday from noon to 1.
Hey, you know what? I'm thinking about it.
You know, that's a great job. Great. That's a great job by Jansen, too. That's my favorite Tom Petty live song.
Terrific.
Learn
song.
To Fly?
Yeah.
When he busts out the acoustic.
Great song.
And the whole Tom crowd Petty. Sings a song.
Tom Petty's the man.
It's a proud moment yesterday when we're driving on the way home. And from a 7-year-old birthday party, my son is 6, so our old neighbors, we were over in Cherry Hill, and Tom Petty's on the radio. And my buddy goes, Daddy, this is Tom Petty, right? And I was like, yes,
that's good parenting.
Yes, it is,
well
son.
Done.
So, all right, welcome back, Bud Light Baseball Brunch. Happy to be here. Happy to be with Murph and the rest of the gang at Green Legion Radio. Remember, Green Legion Radio, we're going to carry on. We're going off air in about 10 minutes. But Green Legion Radio from 1 to 3 with Eagles legendary wide receiver Irving Fryer. We're going to have more fun here at the Ludlam Bar and Grill. Everybody come on down and hang out with us today.
And make sure you take advantage of the Green Legion Radio step repeat over here to take photos with Murph. He does have to get to the ballpark, but he's got a couple of minutes.
He has a couple minutes.
Absolutely.
And Irv will be available for that as well after the show.
I feel like Irv's a better draw, but I'm happy.
I don't know, Murph. I kind of dig you.
Yeah, the La Costa lemonade, so delicious.
It's awesome.
Unbelievable. I'm definitely getting it. Can't.
If you haven't tasted La Costa lemonade, do so now. It is delicious. It's refreshing, and it has a purpose.
Yes.
You know what else has a purpose? Traveling with the Green Legion, because nobody does it better. Go to greenlegion.com or call the office at 215-666-5940. We're going to Chicago, Arizona, Indianapolis, Houston. We got the bus trip down to D.C. to see the Commodes. We're going up to the swamp to see the Giants. Quimby and I are going to be doing the show from the bus yet again down to D.C. this season. We're going to have a blast with that for sure. So make sure you guys sign up today. greenlegion.com. Let's give away these tickets, huh?
Yep, let's do it.
Two tickets. Friday, August 5th.
Best movie quote ever.
We got 12 this week.
I bet. I mean, it's an... Okay, so... All right, you're going to read them through?
Yes, I will.
Okay.
Is this heaven? No, it's Iowa.
Great one.
I'll make him an offer he can't refuse.
Okay. Godfather.
We're going to need a bigger boat.
Mm-hmm. Jaws.
I'll never let go, Jack.
I don't know. Is that Titanic?
That's Titanic.
Didn't see that.
Oh, God. You can't handle the truth.
Oh, great line.
I'll get you my pretty and your little dog, too.
Wow. Wizard of Oz.
Wizard of Oz. Yeah, that's actually, that might be the leader in the clubhouse right now. Talent is a terrible thing to waste.
Yeah, I know that one.
How about Fantasy Land?
Don't know that. Yeah.
Bond, James Bond.
We're going to have to... Work on Sax delivery.
He needed a rehearsal before this.
Seriously. We're going to need a bigger boat. It was twice, Sam. Twice. And Mama always said life is like a box of chocolates. Okay. You never know what you're going to
get. I mean, look, those are a lot of iconic movie quotes.
Yes.
I have my winner out of all those. I don't know if you've come to your conclusion.
I'm leaning Wizard of Oz.
Really?
Yeah, I was scared of the Wicked Witch of the West when I was a kid.
Well,
I thought she lived in my closet.
I didn't think she lived in my closet. I knew she lived in yours, so I didn't have to worry about
well,
it.
Wasn't the lion coming out of the closet during that movie?
Quite possibly. So I guess we got to go tiebreaker here. So Quimby's going to have to
I didn't even tell you what
I know you did it, but I'm already right. leaning that way. Quimby, right. get ready.
What? All right, you're going to have to break the tie here, Quimby, because I would say out of all of those, you can't handle the truth.
As opposed to?
The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, I'll get you.
Oh, you can't handle the truth.
Okay.
Yeah.
I always lose 100%. The
tiebreaker. Yeah,
one of the best and most iconic scenes of any movie ever, and that trumps the red shoes. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's just...
I agree.
It's a wonderful movie. I could have went with I'll Never Let Go, Jack.
No, you couldn't have.
That had to be Henderson. There's no doubt about it.
Son, we live in a world that needs walls, and those walls need to be guarded by men with guns.
Who's going to
do that? You, Lieutenant Weinberg,
great
I have
movie.
A greater responsibility than you could possibly fathom.
Nice.
Look at this. I can do the whole thing.
Good job. All right, let's go to our picks.
All right.
Last week, Murph went 1-1. The Cardinals were rained out.
Yep.
All right, so you hit your over-under, but you lost your underdog. So you only get 1 point last week. Overall, you're 15-20 on the season with 20 points. I had another 2-1. Back-to-back now, 2-1 weeks with 2 points. I lost my underdog. 18-18, 24 points now for the season. You are giving us a special fourth pick this week.
A makeup pick this
Hopefully
week.
Hopefully no rain in the forecast.
Right.
So let's go to your first one. And you, if you want, give me your first two.
All right. So I'll give you. So what I missed last week was my
your
my
favorite. Yes.
So I picked two favorites this week. So the first one this week, Cardinals over the Reds. Reds beat the Cardinals last night 9-5.
Yeah, don't mention it.
I mean, it's like, how does that happen? The Cardinals are a much better team than the Reds. But
and Wainwright pitched last night,
it does happen. Right, that's right. So it's Mats versus Minor today. Cardinals are minus 165. Give me the Cardinals to beat the Reds today.
Okay. All right,
then my second one, again, the Padres beat the Mets last night.
Writing this down?
Yeah, Padres are obviously a good team. Phillies right in the mix with them for the wild card. I'm taking the Mets today over the Padres, which I hate to do. Everyone knows that. But Chris Bassitt versus Blake Snell. Blake Snell has been really, really bad for the Padres.
Ask Bryce Harper.
Yeah, tell me about it.
He's risking his life, bro.
I think the Mets bounce back. Yeah, they're minus 155, so I'll take the Mets in that one as well.
All right, well, I guess my first one, I'll start out. I'm taking the underdog in that matchup. I'm going plus 130 with the Padres. Snell versus Bassett. Listen, I'm kind of doing this for selfish reasons because I just want to see the Mets continue to lose.
Yeah, and I'm fine with that.
And again, risking my life, bro. So I'm going with the Padres plus 130, so we're going head-to-head in that matchup. Give me your next one.
All right, so my next one, last night we talked a little bit about it. Toronto Blue Jays beat the Red Sox 28-5.
Whew.
28-5. This is baseball, not football. And it was such an unbelievable offensive display. I got to believe the Blue Jays just come out and fall on their face today. That's kind of what I'm banking on. So Toronto Red Sox under 9.5 today. And I'll tell you also, Alex Manoah pitching for the Blue Jays today, he's a stud.
That's going to counteract that 9.5.
Right. So I don't think the Blue Jays come out and score a lot of runs, but I don't think the Red Sox do either. So I'm going under 9.5.
We're going head-to-head on this one, too. Right. I'm taking the over. Because I look at it like this. The Sox went through 7 pitchers yesterday. The starter and 6 of the guys in their bullpen. You think Cutter Crawford's going to be able to stop this Blue Jays offense?
8.3. I don't believe that.
If that happens, I'll eat my shirt.
Yeah, okay.
All right. But, yeah, no, he has his work cut out for him today. I know Manoah's pitching on the other side. I'm taking the over. And, listen, the Red Sox giving up runs. I read some Can You Believe It's coming up here? Yeah. No.
Yeah, giving up some runs.
Their pitching staff has been atrocious. All right. And your last pick.
All right, Nationals over the D-backs. This is my underdog pick. The D-backs are minus 155 or something in this game. And the Nats are plus 135. Anibal Sanchez versus Madison Bumgarner. Both pretty average pitchers at this point. It could go either way. So, again, the Nats will win one of these three games. They lost last night. I'll take the Nats to beat the D-backs as my underdog. I don't have a real good reason, but that's it.
Okay, and my favorite this week is going to be the Astros. Verlander in Seattle. I'm just taking the starting pitcher here. Seattle won 14 in a row going into the All-Star break. They lost last night to end the winning streak. I'm going to put them on a little bit of a losing streak.
Okay.
They're going to lose the first two coming out of the break to stumble out of the blocks. Can you believe it?
Can you believe it?
Can you believe it? That's for sure. Can you believe how hot it is out here today at the Ludlam Bar and Grill?
I'll tell you what.
My t-shirt, Ken.
Nice little breeze coming in over the
I don't know. I'm glad you guys are feeling it.
Yeah. Yeah, we need to take this fence down. Get that nice breeze coming off the water. Two things that we
sweat like a fat kid looking for a chocolate bar right now.
And you're
Wait,
not?
Where?
It's a melted one at that.
Gone. It's a s'more. It's halfway to a s'more.
Hey, if you're going to be hot, you might as well be down at the beach, right? That's the place to be.
Can you believe it? Two things that we found interesting from this past week around the league. Murph, give me your first one.
All right. So all of my focus was on that game last night, Red Sox-Blue Jays. There's so many different things that come out of it. The first and foremost, how about just this? Most runs allowed in a game in Red Sox history. 27 versus Cleveland in 1923, 24 at Philly in 1929, 24 at New York in 1923.
It's almost 100 years.
Yeah. So, and then last night, number one, all time, 28 runs allowed versus the Toronto Blue Jays, the most in Red Sox history. Red Sox go back a ways. That's the most in history. That's amazing. Baseball. It happened something different every night.
Now, I'm going to save mine about that game coming up. This one, though, is fun. Kyler Murray was a first-round pick for the Oakland Athletics. He just signed a monstrous contract, although I think
can
way
you
overpaid.
Reach the Crispix? Yes, I can.
His average yearly salary for those 5 years is going to be $46.1 million.
Okay.
The entire Oakland A's payroll this season is $41.9
million. Wow.
That's a great business decision by him.
Yeah, that was a good move.
Yeah.
That was a good move.
No doubt about it.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be okay.
Here's another one real quick about the Blue Jays and Red Sox last night. Shortly after they made it 25-2, there was a gentleman at the Red Sox game that proposed to his girlfriend.
I did see that.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
It's
25.
That marriage is already doomed to fail.
You might have wanted to wait till the next game.
Right. Oh, cancel the plans.
Nope. No, get down on one knee. There you go. I mean, the Red Sox were already down on
and beg for mercy.
Knee. Yeah, right.
All right, give me a second.
So here's my other one from the same game. Okay, so obviously, despite the drubbing by the Blue Jays, Christian Vasquez for the Red Sox, he hit two home runs. So Velasquez joins Jim Thome in 2002 as the only player in the modern era to have multiple home runs in a game where his team lost by 20 or more runs. Yeah, have a day, Jim Thome. Boom, boom. But you lost by 20. Christian Vasquez joins that elite group of players. How about that?
Here's a few things that are also coming off of this. I thought we were going to struggle to get some Can You Believe It's coming off of a short week. All right, most runs allowed in a three-game span since at least 1901. The St. Louis Browns, 1950.
And they were a football team.
56.
Wow.
2022 Red Sox, 55.
Wow.
The last time a team scored 25 runs through five innings was in 1922. And there was another one that went along with that, but we'll skip that over. Let's talk about the week that is ahead for our Fightin' Phils. We have today and tomorrow to finish up the Cubs series. Then we open a three-game set against the Braves Monday through Wednesday. We have a Wednesday afternoon tilt. And then three in Pittsburgh next weekend. Some bottom feeders in the next couple weeks. I know we kind of went over the schedule. But, again, I'm looking at that Braves series to me.
Yeah, you know, the Braves series is important. But first and foremost, win this Cubs series. Go out and win the next two, which is all you really needed to do leading into this series. Win two out of three, then you've got the Braves in town. You know, you'd certainly like to win two out of three against those guys as well. That lineup, man, though, they are from top to bottom, they are just swinging the bats. But beat up on the teams that you should beat up on, win as many series as you can. Phillies are in the driver's seat in terms of the wild card. They kind of control, we got a long way to go, but they control their own destiny in that if they play well, their schedule is softer than most.
Tiebreaker with the Cardinals.
So yeah, they got the tiebreaker with the Cards. So all of that, for all those reasons, you just go out and take care of business, and things are going to be good. We're going to be talking, you know, into October, okay?
Absolutely. That's what I'm looking forward to. Thank you to our friends here at the Ludlam Bar and Grill for sponsoring the program and for hosting us here today. Again, Green Legion Radio is coming up right after this from 1 to 3 with legendary Eagles wide receiver Irving Fryer sitting right next to me and with the rest of the cast of characters. For Greg Murphy, Super Sam Brady, John Jansen back in studio, Quimby on the board here at Ludlam Bar and Grill. I'm Chris Sack, and like a 3-1 pitch to Ryan Howard, we are out of here, baby. Let's win this series against those Cubbies. Let's go, Phils.